you may not be the smartest guy. You may not be the guy that can stay up 20, 48 hours in a row. At the end of the day, I will find a way to get it done because I'm willing to work. If you're willing to work at something, you can learn anything. I mean, look at me. I fought in the cage. I come from a wrestling background, blue collar, poor. I somewhat call myself a dirt road scholar. I didn't get there because of how smart I am. I didn't get there because I got lucky. I got there because I worked my ass off. I got there because I'm willing to put the time in to learn things.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. What's up, my friends? Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast. Create your career. I am so excited. This is conversation number 106, and my guest is the Titan, Josh Koscheck. He's former MMA, and he is one of the nicest guys I've ever had on the podcast, and it's pretty cool. I'm recording this introduction like 45 minutes after the recording because he's nice enough where he stayed on the line with me and essentially mentored me for that long, for 45 minutes. So this podcast from minute 1 to minute 30 is just chocked full of amazing advice, information, his career transitions into MMA, out of MMA, into what he's doing now. And he's just such a genuinely nice guy, and I learned a lot about him today, and I'm very, very excited and eagerly anticipating releasing this conversation for you all to hear. Remember, you can listen to this conversation and all the other contemplations on ChristophLewis.com or on your favorite podcast app, and you can find me on Instagram at Christoph Lewis. So without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, appreciate the opportunity.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, I could say likewise. It's an honor to have you on here. I was telling you, we kind of inadvertently dated myself in the beginning off camera, and that was hilarious. But no, man, like I looked up you. I watched you a lot when I was a little bit younger, just a little bit younger. And then I connected with you because actually somebody reached out to me that listens to my podcast, and they're like, you have to have this guy on your podcast. He's a huge supporter of the community. Now, this guy that I'm speaking about, him and I were from the NSW, Naval Special Warfare community, but just the military community in general. And I had no idea, man. I'll be right up front with you. I had no idea. And then I started digging further, and I was like, dude, you're a huge supporter. So I was like, I have to get him. So I reached out to you. And so thank you so much.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to be here. And, you know, it's just it's been a crazy transition for me from my past life to the current life that I'm doing. It's I probably don't even look the same. you know, my hair's not even blonde anymore. You know, it's kind of, I'm in a different setting now, different lifestyle, different mindset, same kind of similar mindset to what I was when I was going into the octagon, but it's more so of a mindset of being more strategic and just different planning and putting myself around amazing people. You know, so we'll get into, you know, what I'm doing currently, but yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I think the biggest thing is that thank you for your service to the country and what you've done, obviously serving. You know, the NSW community is a phenomenal community. Yeah. I know a lot of them very well. You know, if I was 32, I'd probably want to go down that path.
Well, you know, I'm out now, and like my body is just like, all the listeners know I've been through a lot of injury the last 6 months, and it's all post-military, and it's all this old injuries resurfacing. So now I'm not so sure, but like I totally plan on like finally building out a home gym, and I'm cleared to actually work out again. So I'm ready for that. But no, I really do appreciate it. It's so cool to speak to people that are just so involved in the community. And you're right, like NSW is insane. And I say about it all the time, like my time in Naval Special Warfare, working with the people that I work with, like I literally describe it as, you've heard, like standing on the shoulders of giants. And I always said, like, you know, doing that and then walking next to giants and being able to serve with those men and women, like, blow me away. I talked about it last night, like, working under high stress, short, you know, like all these like short deadlines and all that stuff with those kind of people just makes you, like you said, mindset, like you have to be a better person and it forces you to grow. So no, you're absolutely right.
And I can talk about that, you know, just briefly is the mindset and being able to perform. And, you know, in my career, you know, my past career, you know, fighting, I was the type of guy that would come in and take short notice fights. I believe I fought, you know, 4 or 5 times in the same year when it was very uncommon for guys to take fights in the UFC, you know, within a couple of weeks. So I understand, you know, obviously that mentality, that that environment that you guys kind of deal with every day. Obviously I dealt with it in a different mindset, you know, and have people shooting at me, you know, and obviously trying to, you know, I think my opponents probably obviously tried to kill me, but
yeah,
you know,
I'd say
in a trained a different way, different fashion.
Yeah.
You know, but, talking about, you know, obviously the military and, you know, for example, I'm wearing a Marine MARSOC Foundation hat right now. You know, one of the groups that I support. You know, so you know, talking about what you guys do and the appreciation that you know comes from, obviously from the community that I come from. We, you know, you see always you see past fighters and current fighters supporting our military and our veterans, and you know, that brought me what I am doing today currently. So it's just been an amazing transition from, you know, what I'm doing. But I'll let you ask some questions, you know, to get me I guess talking about it.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I just love having organic conversations. Like I sometimes, you know, I have some things in my mind that I want to talk about, but pretty much I just love like being able to converse and see what comes up. But yeah, for the most part, like obviously, like I said, I focus a little bit on career transitions. And one of the things I like really wanted to know is like on your career transition out of the MMA into what you're doing now, which I want to hear more about it, but like, did you have any idea of what you wanted to do as you were in your head transitioning out of the MMA? Like, did you, sometimes people think that like, it has to be like black and white. Like you're in one career, you have to go to another career. But a lot of times there's like a lot of things going on in the background before you actually separate that former career. But how was your career transition for you? And did you have anything lined up?
Well, I had nothing, you know, in store for myself. It was kind of like, and it was kind of like, what the heck am I going to do? You know, I'm getting closer to the end of my career. You know, my management, you know, Dwayne and Bob Cook, they always told me, hey, man, you stay in that cage until they throw you out because it's the easiest money that you're ever going to make. And I was like, yeah, right. Sure. This is, you know, let's see you come to the gym every day and go through the grind that we go through as fighters. You know, it's easy for you to look back here as management and say that. But in reality, now that I've transitioned into the business that I own with Check Defense, the government contracting company, but we'll get to that point.
Yeah.
I was like, God dang, man. The first 3 years of this business, I was like, oh man, I want to go back to fighting. It is tough. You know, the real world is very difficult, you know, compared to obviously I trained for 3 months, you know, put my skills, you know, get my skills better and then go into the octagon and fight somebody. So easy compared to, you know, obviously building relationships and running a day-to-day operations on the business side. So as you know, or a lot of people know throughout my career, I've been a big advocate for our military and law enforcement. And I fought for the troops on a couple occasions. We've done a ton. I've probably been to, you know, pretty much every military base in the country throughout, you know, my career as a fighter. So I was always going out and teaching combatives and just being around the community. I love being around like-minded people. And I felt that, you know, the veterans in our military was a lot like, you know, the mentality of a fighter.
Sure.
So what I would do is I would always go out and take the opportunity to visit bases and visit with military personnel. And I met a guy named Mark Gross who owned a company called Oak Grove Technologies out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And if you look at all the fighters, the old fighters, you see Chuck Liddell, Cain Velasquez, Daniel Cormier. I mean, he's still sponsoring fighters in Bellator today.
Wow.
You know, he took and he basically would take us to these military bases because he's a government contractor. And he would use us fighters as far as like, hey, man, you guys, you know, we need to do appearances here because the military loves, you know, our soldiers love MMA at the time. It was huge. It was crazy. So we were doing all these things around military bases for his company, just kind of to do PR and build relationships to get his brand. Hey, Oak Grove's bringing these people, you know, these fighters to the base, kind of. It gives some little PR and it builds up his company. So we were doing that like crazy all over the country. And, you know, he was telling me, he's like, hey, you're getting to your end of your career. I was like, hey, easy, buddy. You know, I was like, hey, I'll decide when that is, you know, when they're booing me and kicking, well, they booed me always, but you know, when they're going to kick me out of the cage,
well, you
know,
because,
you know, I was like, hey, this is the easiest money I'm ever going to make. And so essentially, you know, he says, hey, why don't you start a business, you know, a government contracting business? I was like, what do what you do? I was like, I have no clue what you're talking about. I have no interest in that. Obviously, I had some other businesses when I lived out in California and still own those businesses now. And he's like, yeah, you understand P&L, you understand how to build relationships because all business is relationships.
Yeah,
you know, to gain business, you need to go out and build relationships. So my transition was kind of like, okay, yeah, I have this company. It was called Czech Aviation at the time. And I'm a pilot, so I fly. I was flying planes and had a lease back. And I had one in a lease back program. And, you know, so I was doing a lot of aviation. I was like, yeah, this isn't what I really want to do. You know, I was like, it was very difficult to make money on planes because they're always breaking down. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to change the name of this company to Czech Defense. And I'm going to be a government contracting. I didn't know anything about the business. So I started this business on a whim and, you know, obviously from, you know, his guidance, his experience, obviously I had somebody that I can communicate with. So I started getting on the internet, reading books and just reading as much as I could about government contracting. You know, you look at these mega companies out there, you know, you have Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, you know, you have all these big companies out there and these are all government contract companies. Like, well, heck, it's like, what do they need a small business for? You know, so it's like build relationships, build rapport. So my transition was pretty much guided a little bit because of my past life. You know, I loved being around it and I wanted to continue to be around it. And I just didn't know that I had the calling to be in that community, you know, and come back and support the warfighters and support their operations on training and training services. So, I started this company at Czech Defense and, you know, it's like, okay, so, UFC fighter, not very, I guess, you know, publicized about, you know, writing proposals, pricing analysis, you know, you have to do all those things to go out and get contracts.
Sure.
It's like, you want me to write? Okay. so I'm like this on the computer, like, okay, trying to chicken peck, you know, obviously these proposals, you know, so we submit our first proposal, we win. And I'm like, oh, this is easy. I was like, they said making money in the UFC was going to be easy. I was like, this is simple. So we won a USASOC opportunity to do some training services out of Fort Bragg. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. Won our first proposal. This what you do, Mark, is easy, is what I was telling you know the CEO of Oak Grove. I was like, yeah. All right. But so my transition, you know, obviously it was kind of built off of my past.
Yeah.
You know, it was like built off of the relationships that I've developed throughout obviously going out to these military bases and military installations and visiting with our veterans and the opportunity that I got to obviously go out there and fight for the troops. I fought at Fort Bragg and we raised millions of dollars for the Fallen Intrepid Hero Fund. You know, we fought for the Marines out at Miramar. So my foundation and what I was doing as a UFC fighter kind of molded me into this business. And I felt that, you know, once I understood it and understood, you know, the concept on it and what we were doing and I could say at one point 95% of my employees were veterans. Wow. We've since grown past that now. We've had to hire outside people, because we've had significant growth over the last couple of years. And, you know, we're at a point to where we're not meeting that number. I'm going to actually have my HR staff go in and reevaluate and see what our number is now. But we hire a ton of veterans. Wow. And it's amazing that we get the opportunity to continue to support the warfighters from the perspective of their future operations, but not only their future operations, but we're getting to support the veterans, mm-hmm. you know, the mm-hmm. veterans that are coming out and giving them a chance to provide, you know, an opportunity to have, you know, relevant income, health insurance, and then still support of the future warfighters. So, my transition was pretty cool. I think it was definitely unique. I did have some guidance, mm-hmm. you know, from another government contracting company, but, I've currently built the program and our company off of relationships that I've mm-hmm. developed over the years of mm-hmm. going out and supporting, you know, the military installations.
I love that. There is so much wealth in there, and I'm probably going to have to go back and listen to that a couple times because there's just a lot of good things going on there. And some of the good things I wanted to say is that you don't always have to know what you're going to do, because even I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. And I just told you, like, I literally just quit the first job I got post-military, and it's a scary place to be outside of that safety net. So I understand, like, it's similar, like, you knew MMA for a long time, and then, like, you get out there and you say, like, it's a lot different and it's pretty hard and there's not that safety net and all this other stuff going on there. But what's cool about what you just said, amongst all the other things, is that you found somebody like within the niche that you were already working in, like you were fighting, and that other CEO that you were describing, and you kind of used him as a mentor, right? And he taught you everything. So I think it's really cool. And you said a couple times, like, surrounding yourself with amazing people. So you're going out there and you're like, well, I don't really know what I want to do, but that's fine. And I'm like just now learning in my life that that's actually kind of an okay thing. And it allows you to have all these other options. But as long as you have the mindset on, well, let's surround myself with these people, let's look for these people and keep those people in my life. And one of my favorite things that you said is, like, it's about relationships. Like, I don't care if you're military, if you're not military, if you're a business person, I don't care. Like, being able to speak with people and knowing how to respect people and talk to people and all of those synonyms is so important to be able to get anything done. And obviously, like, that you as a business person, that's what you are doing. Like, you are forming these relationships with other people. And you said, like, that's not easy. You have to, like, well, maybe the first one was like, it suckered you in, but, like, I'm sure you had, like, your fair, you know, time of, like, trials and tribulations and hard times. Yeah. And
We've as a company, you know, from the company standpoint, and I know that, you know, our focus is a lot of transition and there's one area that I definitely want to talk about, but we've been beaten up.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't like a business that, you know, I relate it very similar to going into the cage.
Okay.
I didn't obviously win every fight. And when we're submitting proposals and we're going after mm-hmm. opportunities, we're not going to win them all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're probably going to lose more than we win. Yeah. So you have to almost get used to losing in this industry. In my industry, now that we're in this one, you almost have to get used to losing and then say, okay, what did we do wrong? Go back and do an after-action review, evaluate it, look at our pricing, look at our strategic plan to obviously provide that training services. But we've lost our fair share.
Yeah.
And when you lose in fighting, I would always go back to the drawing board. Why did I lose?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's try to fix it. Let's work on the deficiencies that I have to make them better so that doesn't happen again. And I take those same things that I learned throughout training and throughout mm-hmm. wrestling and throughout fighting into the business practices.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I've been known one to outwork everybody, even when I was a fighter. And yeah. I definitely try to keep that same mentality in the business practice. You may be smarter than me. You may have more money to put at things and do better business development, but you won't outwork me. Mm. And I think that's why I think we've had such tremendous growth in the past maybe I'd say past half a year and a half to 2 years, we've had tremendous growth to get to where we're at. And, you know, one of the things about transition, we'll go back and we'll touch on transition, is, you know, when I go out to a military base or installation now, I talk to these young soldiers and I say, listen, the military, the Army, whatever it is, the Navy, the Air Force, you know, whatever it is, the Marine Corps is going to go on mm-hmm. after you. Okay. You have to understand that your relationships and build, it's just like the UFC continued to go on. After I left, they sold for $4.2 billion. Okay. These things are going to go on after you, long after you. What are you going to do? What relationships are you going to build throughout your career? Relationships that you're going to need for future. So never burn a bridge. Mm-hmm. I did it in the UFC all the time and I didn't know, you know.
Well, now but you're learning from it though.
Yeah. So I try to teach these guys on building relationships, on building your resume, because your resume is what who you are as a person when you get on this side. You know, obviously you guys have those long careers. You can get the 25 year careers in there, but I try to teach these guys when I go out, these men and women that are in uniform, build your resume, mm-hmm. build your relationships. Everything that you do, look to your right, look to your left, you're competing with somebody, not only now, but for future.
Sure.
So, you know, a lot of these young soldiers don't understand that the military is going to go on without them at some point. Mm-hmm. And it was just like the UFC went on without me. Mm-hmm. I had to build relationships, and those are the key to success. When you build the right relationships, whether it be, hey, I know that so-and-so, I'm getting out as an 06, okay? I know that so-and-so, I work for him. He's a general now. I'm going to cover my contracting side. You know, even if it's not, I'm over here, I can go back and I can say, hey, I have a relationship with him. Let's try to, you know, go in and talk to him and see what kind of training services. So it's all about building relationships. Mm-hmm. That is one of the biggest things in building your resume throughout your career that I try to tell these guys, the Army, the Navy, it's all going to go on mm-hmm. long before you're out of it.
Yeah. It's hard because not a lot of people think long-term like that, you know, they don't. And I think you were kind of, we touched on, like, you're asking me before we started recording, like, you know, more about myself and like about the military and stuff. And I said, like, a lot of the reasons why I started the podcast is because a lot of people didn't really enjoy what they wanted to do, but then not only were they kind of complaining about what they were doing or really complaining about what they were doing, but they didn't really know what they wanted to do. And they're not even thinking long-term, like you're saying. They're not even thinking medium-term or short-term. Like, they're just not thinking about the future. So it's awesome for me to hear you say that, like, you're going out there and you're talking to these people and you're saying, like, hey, think about this, because I think this needs to be talked about a lot more. And that's part of the reason, like, why I'm recording these conversations. And I hope to, you know, disseminate it to as many people as possible, because we need to get people to start thinking about more of this, because I do not think it's talked about most or as much as it should be. And I know that because I worked there in the military for that long, for almost a decade. And I know it's not really being talked about, because a lot of it is retention, but it needs to be talked about, like, hey, you're individuals and you need to set yourself up for your own career, because nobody else is going to do it.
Well, I think too, there's a lot of the Army is taking notice. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Soldiers for Life.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of programs out there now that help, you know, soldiers write resumes, mm-hmm. that give them the need as far as what's needed to transition into civilian life.
Sure.
Because the Army life and the military life, you know, or the Navy life, is totally different than what obviously the civilian life. And it can be a culture shock, you know, because a lot of these guys come out and it's like, whoa, it's like, wake up. You know, here I am. I'm in the civilian world, and it's different.
Feel,
you know,
alone.
It's different. There's not, you know, so-called team sometimes in the profession that they choose. So some people have a hard time adapting to that. And a lot of the biggest things is we need as a community, I think, to educate our veterans on that transition. And it needs to be, you know, starting at, you know, hey, I'm going to be in for 4 years, or I'm going to be at 6 years, or I'm going to be at 8 years. What's my strategic plan along the military route? And then when do I see myself, you know, getting out, and what does that look like? I think we need to educate our veterans a little more on that. And I think it will be beneficial.
Yeah.
It would probably decrease, you know, a lot of the, jobless joblessness along our veterans.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a lot of that. And I know, like you mentioned the Army, and I know when I got out of the Navy, there were programs in place like right when you're getting out. But yeah. I don't know. I'm sure there's more out there. But from, again, this is only my personal experience. Maybe people have had more exposure to it, but there wasn't a lot of it throughout your military career, only really if you were like for sure getting out. So I would just encourage anybody, if you're in a leadership position, to just talk about those kind of things. And I think it's smart to like, I talk a lot about military stuff here, but there's a lot of non-military stuff as well. And so if you're trying to transfer from career to career as well, like you need to be thinking about that stuff as well, because even more so, you don't have that security net of which the military is, and you could get let go at any time. So you need to be like thinking about this stuff, you know, keep your profiles up to date, keep your resume up to date, like keep all this up to date. And one of the things you said, which I love, you like talking about education, continued education, like keep yourself up to date on what you need to do. And because you don't know when things are going to go south and you're going to have to pull an audible. It kind of goes actually with what you were saying about, like you were one of the guys that would take short-term fights or, you know, fights a couple of weeks out maybe or something like that. And that's like, that's unheard of, right? So like that could happen with your job. So if you kind of already kind of have an idea of what you might want to do other than what you're doing right now, then you'll be set up a lot better. So absolutely love that. And one of the other things you said is like, you would outwork people. I felt like that too. Like I was an electronics technician in the Navy, and I was not the smartest person on paper. And I had to like, even in my 20s, like I was getting like made fun of because I would just sit there, study late and do all this shit. And I was like, I have to work so much harder and study so much more to get like even up to par. But it's funny because of that mentality, when it came to like other things in my life, now I was always a hard worker. Like you said, you brought it from the MMA into your life now. So now like I'm as smart, if not smarter than some people that I work with. Plus I got this hard work attitude, this I'm not going to stop and I'm going to do it better and better and better. And now it's like, it's unstoppable. And I want people to understand that they can be unstoppable. They can do what they want, but it takes a lot of preparation and all that hard work. And you just got to believe in yourself and that you can do it and not sell yourself short.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, I think one of the things that you talk about is, you know, that work ethic is, you know, you may not be the smartest guy. You may not be, you know, the guy that, you know, can stay up 20, 48 hours in a row, because, you know, obviously in your past life, you guys had to do a lot of that, you know, with the training. But, you know, at the end of the day, I will find a way to get it done because I'm willing to work. Mm-hmm. And if you're willing to work at something, you can learn anything. I mean, look at me. I fought in the cage, come from a wrestling background, you know, blue collar, poor. I would say I somewhat call myself a dirt road scholar. I grew up in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, on a farm, 130-acre farm that was on a dirt road. You know, so it's like I didn't get there because of how smart I am. I didn't get there because I got lucky. I got there because I worked my ass off. I got there because I'm willing to put the time in to learn things. You know, in running this business, like I said, I didn't know anything about government contracting. You know, all I knew was that this guy does training for the military and that was it. And I was like, okay, he just wants to pay us to come and meet and greet with people and build relationships. Sure, that's easy. You know, I've been building relationships my whole life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the easy thing for me, but it was the matter of coming into this business, not knowing anything about it, challenging myself mentally, physically, because there were some days where I was like, what in the heck am I doing? What am I doing? I could just go back and make easy, so-called easy money, fight somebody until they don't ever want to see me and step inside that cage again, you know? And I've had that advice for quite some time, but I was like, it's like, you know what? This is a struggle. You know, this wasn't easy to get where we are with where we're at in the company and seeing the growth that we are.
Sure.
It was a fight to get here. And it's something I've been doing my whole life. I've been fighting, you know, where I came from.
Love that.
You know, dirt, like Waynesburg, Pennsylvania. Come on, let's be real. Google that place.
It's not even on Google.
I love that place.
Yeah.
But you don't see many people make it out of there. And that's that's just kind of like the mentality I had growing up, you know. Was like, I told my grandfather, he goes, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, I want to be famous. That's what I told him. And I was like, I thought I would be a movie star or something. You know, I can't remember. I was a little kid. He's like, all right, cool. So it's like, you know, how do you plan on doing that? Is what my grandfather was a retired, you know, military. So he had a background. So, but he would always tell me, how do you plan on doing that? So I'm just going to work at it. You know, I mean, when I was 4 or 5 years old, my grandfather had me out cutting firewood, you know, just a young kid. Nice. So it's always instilled in me from a young child to get to where I am by hard work. Mm-hmm. And one of my sayings has always been, hard work pays off.
I love that. And it's awesome that you brought that up, because I wanted to dive into your childhood a little bit and see, like, were there any indicators of why you have the mentality that you have now? And you just took it right out of my head and you just explained it right there. And I think it's so cool. Like, you had that childhood mentor, essentially, your family. And I think that's incredible that you can do that. One of the things, though, I do want to point out, though, like, I'm a huge advocate of hard work. I just said myself, but you can't, like, for the people listening, you can't only just hard work. You have to have some kind of direction. Cause if you dig in the opposite way, like that, you know, you could screw yourself over. So you have to have obviously some sort of direction. And, but when it's coupled with that hard work and you slowly find your way, then, like I said, like, I struggled for years in the Navy. Like, it was really hard for me, but then I still worked hard, and I slowly was, like, focusing more, finding my direction, focusing more, and then that hard work just steamrolled over everything, and I was, like, on the way to roll. And I know that, I'm sure that's exactly what you experienced as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once you find a couple of things of success in this business, in any business, you know, once you find a little bit of success, it can kind of gives you that little bit of carrot. You're like, oh, I want to taste it again. Yeah. I want it again. Yep. So when I would fight, you know, it'd be like, I go in there and just the adrenaline and the high that you get after walking out of that cage, you're like, I didn't sleep for 2 days.
Yeah.
And it would just be like, I'd just be so wired, like, oh my God, I want to feel that again. You know, I want to feel it again. And I've never done drugs or anything like that, but I can only imagine it was something similar to you. Like, I want to taste it again. I want to feel that feel again.
Addicting,
And, you know, every time I would get out of a fight, win or lose, you know, there's that still. Obviously, you're pretty bummed when you have a loss, but you still have that adrenaline. You still have that feeling. You're like, oh, my God, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's why I think you still see these old guys in there competing and fighting. But I get that same concept in the business side. When we get a win, I'm like, oh, my God, we got to win. Let's go, you know. And then it's like, oh, my God, I'm nervous because now I got to perform. Now I got to figure out how to hire people. Now I got, you know. So, you know, you still get that excitement. And it's just a testament of, I guess, you know, as a competitor, you know, you got to almost somewhat compete as well. Mm-hmm. You know, but – and I've been competing since a child. I mean, I've been competing in sports, you know, from – you know, it's like, you know, I was, you know, quite frankly, I love where I came from. Mm-hmm. You know, I had my grandparents, you know, my mom, everybody was amazing around us. I have a great family. But we were poor and we were competing as kids just to get at the dinner table to see who's going to get the most food, you know, and I got raised by my grandparents and, you know, my grandmother and grandpa had 8 kids. So I was the youngest. Wow. I was a baby and she had, you know, 4 or 5 other people in the house at that point, and then all the neighbor kids. So we were always competing. And I think that's what we lose track of that sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's like you have all these people out there. Oh, hey, let's, you know, give everybody an award. No, it's like the guy who goes out there or the girl that goes out there and competes and wins should get the award. Mm-hmm. You don't get second place, third place awards. Just, oh, hey, we recognize you. Here's your award. I think that as a society, we kind of somewhat lose that because when we were a kid, man, if you lost, like me especially, I would be pissed. I'd be pouting. I'd be crying. I want to fight the guy, you know, especially when it come time for wrestling and things like that. In any sport that I played, I hated to lose. And it's like that old saying, I hate to lose more than I like to win. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I was competing and I bring that through my UFC career and I bring that over to my business. Now we just try to compete every single day and try to make ourselves better. And I think that's why we've seen such great success. It's one of the things, obviously building relationship, but having a good mentor, you know, the stars are aligned, but I didn't just get it given to me. I had to earn it because it was a struggle to get to where we are today.
I love everything about that, like having a mentor, working hard, being focused, knowing what you want, enjoying what you're doing, being around the right people, being having the opportunity to be raised by incredible people like that, that taught you those things. All these things are so important. And even if you haven't had anything we just talked about up until this moment, you have the option to start down that path right now and take a hold of some of the things that Josh and I just said right now. Before we get out of here, Josh, where can people find you and Check Defense if they want to learn more about all that?
I used to have a personal website, but that's kind of disappeared. CheckDefenseLLC.com, they can read about it. Check that out. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Check Defense has all that. I have that as well, at Josh Koscheck. I'm super blessed to have the opportunity to be here to help our veterans, help the community, and the warfighters every single day. And I'm ecstatic about the future of my company and the future of the people that I'm going to get to employ. So
it's exciting.
Again, I truly appreciate this opportunity and for seeking me out on LinkedIn.
Yeah,
I have one other transition advice for y'all. I didn't know what LinkedIn was. I thought it was like another like Instagram, Facebook. I got on it and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Yeah. This is for business people.
Yeah.
Veterans. Get, actually not even veterans, active duty, get a LinkedIn account and start promoting yourself. Build your resume now. Mm-hmm. Start building relationships with those CEOs of companies. So All your listeners better be hitting me up on LinkedIn, because that's where you found me. And that's the key to business. You need to build relationships. Let people know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Let people know that you're out there. Hey, I'm going to be retiring next year, and I have X, Y, and Z, and I've done this, mm-hmm. and I've been here. So build that on LinkedIn. That is your social media platform for, and this isn't, LinkedIn's not paying me.
I wish they were. Yeah, right?
But that's your platform for you as a veteran, as just anybody, any Joe Schmo out there. That's your platform. Get a LinkedIn account and start building your resume.
Yeah, I agree. And I firmly believe that LinkedIn is underrated. It's a huge, huge way that I conduct my business of podcasting and everything else I do for my personal life as well. So I really appreciate it.
I know you stalked me on there.
Yeah, absolutely. I did. I put a lot of work into guest acquisition. That is like my thing. That is my niche. I can be good at it. But like I was saying, Josh, I do really appreciate it. Thanks for all that advice. Like from the whole entire conversation was so good, and I cannot wait to listen to it again. So thanks so much for your time, and have a great rest of your night.
Oh, thank you, sir.